With that, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, last week I promised you, after several weeks of talking sports with Jeremiah, whether it's about soccer and refereeing or whether it's about football, I said no sports this week. And I look at my children in 8 o'clock service who sit right here, which means I have to be careful not to reference my children so much in sermon illustrations. So I thought, okay, if sports is off the table and my kids are off the table, what's left to talk about? I'll talk about my dogs. You've heard about my dogs before, but we're going to talk about my dogs again because they'll never know I talked about them, okay? So if you didn't know, I've got Captain, officially Captain America Dixon, and I've got Peter Parker Dixon. If you also didn't know, I love sports, I love my kids, I love my dogs, and I love Marvel superheroes. To be specific, DC, love Marvel. We can debate this later if you wish. But anyways, so I've got Captain and I've got Parker, and there's a lot of things they have in common. They are both dogs, they are both very similar size, they were both rescued from the shelter, they are both furry and lovable and love to chew toys and bones and love being in our house. But then there are several ways that Captain and Parker are very different, okay? So Parker has Chihuahua and Jack Russell in him, okay? If you know anything about Chihuahuas and Jack Russells, it means he likes to bark, he likes to bite, and he has got tons of energy, okay? Parker is a Karen Terrier, which means he loves to bury things. The funny thing about Parker is he hates the grass, okay? So he won't bury things in the backyard. Instead, he spends his time trying to bury things in the couch, which is actually hilarious to watch. He'll bring a toy up to the couch, and then he'll take his nose and be covering it with air because there's no dirt to cover it with. But yet he goes through the routine of trying to bury it as if it covers it up and as if Captain's never going to find it. So very unique personalities, and love them both. But one of the things that differentiates between Captain and Parker is that Captain wants nothing more than to just snuggle with you, okay? You sit down on the couch, and Captain just wants that nook right there with you, and he gets in that spot, and he is good to go. Better yet, you get in bed, and you let Captain on the bed, and it is like seventh heaven for that dog, especially if you let him crawl under the covers, because the more he's like entrenched and you and stuff and just securely in there, and even when it's 100 degrees outside, he will go under the blankets and see how much warmth he can suck up from you. But he is the snuggler. Now, Parker seems like he wants to be the snuggler, like he wants to find that peaceful place of contentment, and so he will fight Captain for it, okay? And I mean, he'll fight Captain for it. Captain is like next to me on the couch and perfectly happy, and Parker goes through this routine of coming up and barking at Captain and like chasing his tail at Captain, like, come on, get down here and play with me. And Captain puts up with it, and Captain puts up with it. And finally, Captain lunges off the couch to stop Parker. And the minute he lunges off the couch, Parker laughs at him and takes his spot, okay? I've actually taken video of this. It's a pretty hilarious routine. But the thing is, Parker gets in that spot, and he lasts about 60 seconds before he has to move to the other side. And then he lasts about 60 seconds till he's the other side of the couch. And then he lasts about 60 seconds till he's back and wanting Captain's spot. Like, he just can't settle down and just be content in one spot. Now, I wonder, which one are you? Are you the personality that has this kind of contentment, that your whole being can just kind of relax and be present and have peace? Or are you this restless person that's constantly up and moving and you want to focus on this, like you're trying to read, but wait, there's dishes in there. Oh, wait, but I need to call this person. Oh, wait, but there's those two personalities. That which finds contentment and peace easily, and that restless, anxious presence that never seems to settle down. And it's these personalities that draw me into our text this morning. What do we have? But we have a letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, who he's mentoring into the ministry. Timothy that we know from this letter that's young, because Paul, in part of it, encourages him not to let people look down on him because he is young, but to realize the power of God that's in him and what he has to teach and to give to people in their faith. And so here Paul is in this letter of encouragement. Paul is in the midst of this letter addressing the humanity that comes when dealing with people in the church, that yes, there's these struggles and here's how you get through them. And then he ends this letter with these great words of encouragement. To me, the end of this letter kind of, well, I promised I wouldn't talk sports, but it really feels like the coach, like, giving those last final things before you go on the field. Oh, I broke my promise. I'm human, will you give me grace and forgiveness? But here's this word of encouragement to Timothy and all who follow him. And what is he addressing? But he's addressing one of the great challenges of our world, right? One of the great challenges that since the beginning of time, it seems, that we've had this addiction with possessions and wealth and how much we have and how much we give and how much somebody else has and gives, right? You want to challenge me on going back to the beginning? Read Cain and Abel and the possessions they had and what they gave and how they saw themselves through it. But here, Timothy is being challenged by Paul. Stop focusing on the wealth of this world. And what does he tell him instead? Focus on being content in godliness. Content in godliness. That place of peace and serenity that God wants to give us. But how do we get there? How in the midst of this world do we get to this place of peace and contentment and godliness that God wants to give us? Well, if we look at the Greek, and I won't give you the Greek word because I'll say it wrong, we know this one. But if we look at the Greek word for contentment that Paul uses here in this world, the literal meaning of it is not being bothered by external circumstances. Should I say it again? Contentment being not bothered by external circumstances. Our external circumstances, everything that stresses us and worries us of this world. Can you make your shopping list? There's a blank part of your bulletin. Can you sit and list all of the external circumstances, all of those things outside of your being that worries you and stresses you and takes focus and time and energy? I can list it. I surely can list it. Some days are worse than others. Some days I go back from worship and I go, boy, my brain was in another place. Because the external circumstances that are encroaching in, that are trying to get to me, that are overwhelming me. But these are a reality, right? We have responsibilities, we have stresses, we have bills, we have things we have to take care of, we have work responsibilities, we have family responsibilities, we have relationship challenges and issues and all of that. Pastor Stacy, these are a reality, and yes, my friends, they are. So does God just want us to just shut down the world and forget it? God knows better. God knows we can't do that. But God asks for this godliness, right? And if we look at this word godliness that Paul uses, if we go to Paul's Greek word, what do we get? But Paul using a word that means piety or devotion. A devotion to God, that relationship with God. Now, what do we look at when we see that we're supposed to be content despite the external circumstances, and we're supposed to be in devotion to God? What does it leave us? But it leaves us with the challenge of how we make it so that those external circumstances, that the things of this world don't get between us and God. How do we make sure that they don't impose upon our relationship with God? How is it that they make it so that they don't affect our love for God? How do we make it so that they don't affect our ability to give our time and ourselves to God? How is it that they don't make it so that God is not first in our hearts? Because this is the challenge that we're facing. This is what Paul's addressing. In much of this, he's addressing wealth. And within this text is where the phrase, money is the root of all evil, comes in, which is a bad phrasing of it and not fully accurate. But it's led people to believe that the gospel is trying to teach us that money is evil and that money is bad. And while we do find references to where Jesus speaks about money and says, you know, a rich person can't get into heaven, we see Jesus picking on the rich people, we have to look at what's around those texts and see that it's not about the money, and it's not about how much money that they have, but it's about what the money is doing to them. That the money is making it so that they're ignoring the poor, even though they have a means to help. That the money, like the rich man, makes it so that he can't follow Jesus because his money is too important. Jesus, through his teachings, is trying to help us see that money has an easy ability to get between us and God, to get between us and one another, and is trying to help us to see how we don't allow that to happen. How we see that money isn't bad, but the relationship that we have with it can be. And so what does Paul challenge us? Paul challenges us to see being rich in a different way. Did you hear it in the text? Did you hear it in the text of what he said? Is then, command people to be good and to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. To be rich in good deeds. To be rich not by what's in our bank account, but to be rich in what we do and what is seen of us through what we do. To realize what I talked about with the kids, of all of these gifts that God has given us. Do we realize how many gifts God has given us? Of what God has put inside of us, of what God has given us, of what God is doing inside of us, and what ability we have with those? This week we begin our stewardship campaign, and half of you just cringed, right? We're moving into the money season. But I picked this passage today because I wanted to talk to us before we start the stewardship campaign to immediately tell us that stewardship is not about money. Should I say it again? Stewardship is not about money. Do you want to say it with me? Stewardship is not about money. We've just turned it into that. Stewardship, as we look at it, to be a steward, you got to go back to Old England in particular, where lords had these big, huge manors. And they weren't always living in their big, huge manors. And they were lords, so they didn't take care of their big manors. What did they do? But they hired a steward to take care of their manor. And the steward managed it and kept it up and made sure everything was done. It wasn't theirs, but they took care of it as if it was. So as stewards, what is it but that we have everything that God has entrusted into us? That God has entrusted us with our physical being. That God has entrusted us with the knowledge that we have and the way that it grows. That God has entrusted us with time. That God has entrusted us with talents and skills. That God has entrusted with us a heart that can pray. That God has entrusted with us care and compassion and empathy and love. That all of that belongs to God, and God has gifted us and said, I entrust this into you, and I put my Holy Spirit inside of you to guide you in how you use all that I have given you. And how do you use this? In faith and in love for the glory and honor of God. That's what stewardship's about. And here Paul gets to it. He says, be rich with what you have and what you do with it, and have contentment and godliness within that. Contentment to say, what God has given me is enough, and I rejoice in that, and I will use it in the best of my faithful capabilities. Contentment that says, I have faith that God's going to take care of me, that the worries of today are enough that I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I will be content in today. Contentment that says, I have faith in God that God will take care of me. And in this faith, I surrender everything to God and say, use it as you will, as it was first yours. Beginning this week, I challenge us of how we are stewards in all that God has given us, how we are stewards in the time that we have, how we are stewards in the gifts and the talents and the skills and the prayers, and how it is that we desire to use each of those to love God with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our soul, with all our might, with everything that we have, and how it is that we love our neighbor as ourself. If you're on the stewardship mailing list, you've got a letter coming home that talks about our stewardship campaign this year, that it's themed loving God and loving our neighbor, the same theme that our kids are having in Sunday school, because we were inspired by them. And I'm inviting you to 20 days of stewardship, 20 days of having time each day in devotion. Each of us, as the family of God here at Torrance First, reading the same scripture passage, and each day having a specific area of either our church or our community that we are praying for. To be stewards of our time and our prayers and our talents and our heart, to give each day to God and to our neighbor. Because it's about more than money. Money can either get between us and God and our neighbor, or our money can be a resource to love God and to love our neighbor. Our time and how stretched it is can either get in the way of our relationship with God and our relationship with our neighbor, or it can be a resource for loving God and loving our neighbor. I could go on, because everything that we have can either get in the way or be a resource. So how do we challenge ourselves to use all that God has given us to help us to be rich in good deeds, of how we use our life and what's in it for loving God, loving our neighbor, and as a result, finding a contentment and godliness that gives us a peace and a joy in this life that we are gifted. My friends, will you pray with me? Gracious God, there is much to worry us in this world. There is much to be anxious about. There is much for us to absorb our energy in our heart. But we ask that you help us to see how we can be good stewards of all that you have given us. All that you have given us. That what we have and who we are the resources to be able to love you with everything that we've got and to be able to love and care for our neighbor. Help us to follow that call. Help us to have faith enough to give back to you what you have given to us. Help us to find a peace and contentment that's not burdened by external circumstances, but is us having peace because of our faith in you and our faith that you are going to take care of us. For this is who you have created us to be. And this is who we desire to be. For all this is yours. And so we give this back to you in your most holy name. Amen.